Myrne, how did you first learn that there were jobs in the defense plants?
Well, you know, when the war broke out, news did travel. And my brother came out here first. He came out before the war started, or about about that time. And he would write and tell us that the defense plants were opening up and they were hiring any and everybody. So all the way back to Texas, I heard about it.
Now, did you hear in other ways besides through your brother's letters? I mean, in Texas, were there announcements?
Yes, but we live way out in the country, and we didn't hear these only when we went to town, you know, or saw a newspaper and read about it. And that's the reason I came to California, because we just wasn't making any money back there, and things were going up, you know. My husband was a cowman, and when he passed away, then I had to do something, because I had a daughter to raise. So I packed up from the way I come to California.
How much time went by in between your husband's death and coming to
California? Oh, I'd say a couple of months, something like that, because I had to do something quick, because they would pay me only whenever I had to go on the job to do the cooking for the cattlemen. And that wasn't every day. I cooked maybe 2 or 3 weeks or a month, or maybe 2 months. But that was all, and I was only making $2 a day for room and board. So I decided I couldn't live on that and pay rent too, and keep my daughter in school. So I had to find something in a hurry.
Well, when you got to Santa Monica, how did you go about getting a job at Douglas?
Well, I first started to work at a little place down in Santa Monica store, a dime store, W.T. Grant's. And I worked there, oh, I guess, 3 weeks, something like that. And I wasn't paying very much. And my brother kept saying, well, why don't you come to Douglas? He was working at Douglas, Santa Monica. So they were getting ready to give me a department of my own. And I just told them one day that I was quitting, that I was going in the defense plant. And that's, of course, out in California, we was wanting everybody, you know, to come to work in the plants. So that's what I did.
When was this?
1942 of October.
Where did you go to apply for your job at Douglas?
I think it was an office up on Ocean Park Boulevard. I wouldn't be for sure. I forgot. And then they hired me right away.
What kind of process did you have to go through? Did you fill out forms or
yes,
did you have an interview?
Yes. I had to, yes, I had an interview, and they...
Can you tell me about the interview?
Well, I just don't know what all it was about. Now, it's been so long ago. Well, they wanted to know your name and your occupation that you did, wherever you come from, you know, and if you'd ever had any mechanical training like that. And, of course, I had, because I was very handy with things like that. And I was raised up on a farm, and you had to fix this, that, and the other. And so they said, well, they would give us a tryout. And I met this lady. I forgot her name now. And so they sent us to school in a building up on, I think it was Pearl Street or somewhere up in there. I forgot now. It was a high school, I believe, or something, some big building.
During the interview, were you the only one being interviewed at that time? I mean, were there more than one of you in the office at the same time? Do you remember?
I don't remember. No, I don't remember. I think he talked to 2 or 3 of us at once, you know. Excuse me.
And was it just one person that interviewed you?
It seems to me like yes. And although the gal that I started out working with, she had no experience whatsoever. She was just a housewoman and a city woman, where I was a country gal. But anyway, he said, we'd try us out and see how we did. And he said, you know, you have to go to school for 2 weeks.
What kind of forms did you have to fill out?
Well, it was just a form, you know, put down your name and your age and address and where you were from, where you were born, and this, that, and the other.
What about tips? Did they give you any kind of tips?
No. Our schooling and things like that. No, they did not give us any tests that I can remember. The only test they give us is when they send us to school and showed us what to do. That was a test.
So when did you start the school then?
Within the week.
Now, were you paid to go to school?
Oh, yes. We got 60 cents an hour.
How did this compare with what you were making at the dime store?
Well, it was a little bit more. I forget now just what was at the dime store, but figured it up by the 2 weeks or weeks, however we got paid at Douglas, and I would have been making a little bit more. And then I found me a place to room and board for my daughter and myself.
What was the training like?
Well, they took us in, explained what a drill motor was, and the size of the drills that went in the motor, bits or whatever you want to call them, and they showed us what a rivet gun was and told us how much danger the rivet gun would do, how much danger the drill motor would do, and which I already knew anyway, and the length of the drills that, the bits that we put into the drill motor, and what the air hammer would do, the rivet gun. And we soon learned by our own experience what they would do and what they wouldn't do. And they gave us 2 pieces of metal. And he said, you drill a hole in there and put a certain kind of rivet. They showed us all different sizes, how to do it. They did it one time for us to show us just what we had to do. We clamped these 2 pieces of metal together, and he drilled the first hole to show us, and he put the first rivet in for us. And he said, girls, you can go on from there. Well, we've done them little boards, I don't know how many times we've done those little boards. But every day, we do those for 8 hours.
How much of your training was like book learning? As compared to actually working on those?
Well, they gave us a chart, I believe it was, for us to study the sizes of the drills and the motor and the rivet gun, the rivets and all this. And we were supposed to remember what size they were, told us that we had to buy a certain amount of tools to start in with. He told us what we had to buy, but most of it was furnished for us after we got into the big plant. And we riveted every day on those little boards, time and time again, until we got where we was almost perfect. And with the man that was teaching us come in one day, and he said, Myrn, you and this girl, I forgot her name, are genius. You just do it, everything just so perfect. But he says there's going to be a little bit of difference after you get into the plant, but you have got the basic training right now.
How long after you started with that?
Well, we went to school 2 weeks.
You went the full 2 weeks?
Yes.
How many women were in your class?
Oh, I don't know. We were just spread out in the room, and different ones were doing different things, and some of them were doing the same that we were doing. And I don't remember now how many there were.
Was the training class for women only? Were there men training?
Yes, there were men training too, but there were fewer men than there were women. Was they taking all those to the war, you know? Some of them were older, you know, quite a bit older men were. And, oh, I don't know, I suppose they were 24 of us, something like that.
What did you feel? How did you feel at the end of the 2 weeks about?
Oh, I just felt real good. But after I got in the plant and heard, you know, there wasn't so much noise there in school. But after I got into the plant, oh boy, how in the world am I ever going to stand that noise? How in the world am I going to talk to my partner? Where she can hear me? And then I was a little bit afraid because it was a little bit different when you got into the plant than it was, you know, working on a bigger materials. And you had to do that almost perfect, you know, to keep from ruining so much, because metal was very scarce. And we had to be very, very careful with our riveting and our drilling. And everything just worked out. We got good lead men after we got in there, and everything went along fine.
What kinds of preparation did you have to make before you started to work? Like, did you have to buy special clothes?
No, I already had slacks, capris, and the right kind of clothing. And we had to wear nets on our head or a bandana or something to cover our hair, because they was all afraid, you know, our drill motors would get tangled up in their hair and strip us bald headed, which I saw some girls do. Yes. And they explained what it was all about to us, and we had to wear certain kind of shoes.
Can you describe the kind of shoes you wore?
Well, they were supposed to have been hard toes and low heels, where they'd been comfortable in any position that we had to get in to do our work. And we wasn't to have flashy clothes whatsoever, very plain. Jeans, if you wanted to, well, yes, jeans. And no sweaters. We was to have no sweaters. But you could have blouses. You know, not silk material, but the regular cotton ones. And always at the time we were drilling, we were supposed to have glasses on. They furnished those for us. They were protection for our eyes. And I don't know, I just, they just handed you the job and said, here, rivet this up. And it was the nose cone for the motor of the A-20s, and we had two sides to rivet, and we got to do it so fast they said we was doggone good riveters. But we'd done those for, oh, I guess almost a year. We were on the nose cones, and my partner that I went in with, she was too big to fit in the nose cones, so they had to give me someone else. Because I was always the riveter. I never was a bucker. I just couldn't do it. I did it some, but I liked my riveting. And the drilling part. We also had to drill them out. And then they finally put us on pickup work, like the inspector come along and inspect other people's work. And she'd mark, or he'd mark, whatever was wrong, you know, with it, and they'd send us over to do the work right, drill out the rivets or put a piece in or patch it or do something. And that's the way I started it, yeah.
Let's go back to your first day, and I'd like you to go through that first day with me. When you got up in the morning, what mm-hmm. you were anticipating and how you felt. How long after you finished training did you actually go to the plant?
The next week. Yes, yes. Next Monday. We started on a Monday. And
how'd you feel about actually going to work?
Well, I was scared. I was a little country girl, and I was scared to see all those people in there and the noise that they was making. And oh, I said, my goodness, I don't know whether I can do that or not, but I'm going to do my darndest to help, you know, our boys. Well, they took us into an office, and they got our whole life's history, you know. And I didn't have a birth certificate, and they had to have it, be a citizen of the United States.
This is that first day?
Yes, uh-huh. And I called my mother, or wrote her back in Texas, and she went to the courthouse. She knew the people in the courthouse, whatever you call it. And they made out me a birth certificate and sent it out here. And I had to show that I was actually a citizen of the United States.
Did they let you go ahead and work in Texas?
Yes, they did. Yes, they did, because I told them that I'd have to get it from Texas. And I had my Social Security card then. And so I think it came within 10 days, something like that, because Mother got it right away. And then, oh my.
How long did they take with you in the office when you went in the morning?
Oh, they explained everything to us that, you know, about the safety of the place and what we were there for. And if we didn't work out, we would be let gone. But we had a trial of, I think, 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So we went right in and got acquainted with our lead men, and they introduced us to some of the other personnel, people that we would be working with.
Was that when they assigned you to whatever department you would work in that day?
Or
had they done that before?
I think they told us in the office what department we would go into. But don't ask me the number. I think it was 542. I wouldn't know for sure. I forgot all that. Didn't think of it in all these years, you know. And that we were taken right down and to the office in that department, and we were introduced to the foreman and the supervisors and who we would be working under, lead men and so forth and so on.
How did you feel when you walked inside the plant for the first time?
Golly, I was really shocked to see all those people in there. I had no idea that the hundreds of people that we would be around, and I knew no one, but it didn't take me long to get acquainted. And I was just really amazed at the number of people that was in there. And I thought, gee whiz, how can I ever stand that noise? Well, I'll get used to it, I said. That's what I'm here for, to give out my work to them and do my best. Help those boys out over there and get these planes on the way.
Now, you said that in school you had to buy some tools.
Yes.
Did you bring those tools to work with you that first day?
Yes, yes I did. And a toolbox. We were supposed to furnish our own toolbox. But there were certain things that we could get out of the tool crib, you know, they furnished for us, such as the rivet guns and the, I don't know, the little thing you put in that you rivet with.
What kinds of tools did you have to buy?
Well, like screwdrivers and wrenches, certain size of wrenches, and pliers, and I think that was all. Just the necessity. Hammer, files, and things like that. Just the necessities. I know I had a little bitty toolbox, and I thought, oh, gee, I'll never make this because I'm not going to get all those tools in there. We could keep our own rivet gun some of the time in our toolbox. But at first, we couldn't because there wasn't enough rivet guns to go around and our drill movers. Each morning, we'd have to go to the tool crib and check them out. We'd have to sign a paper or give a little tab. I forgot now. We wore them on our belts. checks, little check things. And we'd have to give one of those out for our motor and our rivet gun.
Did that have like your employee number or something?
Yes, it had, yes, our badge number and the department number. Yes. I would like to have kept that badge. I would have kept that all the time.
When they took you to your department, were you the only new person assigned to that department on your first day, or did they take you in a group?
No, they took us into a group. They did split us up, and others went to other different departments. But I don't remember just how many. There were several of us went to the same department, and the same on the wing or on the motor. And some of them went to the wing, and we went to the nose cone, which I'd rather gone to the wing, and some of them went on the line. But, and then so that was part of the five, or part of the department that I was in, too. They assigned us, each one of us, to a different part of the plane.
How big was your department?
Oh, Lanza doing the ocean. I don't know how big it was. Quite big. It was maybe 150, maybe 200 people in the same department, but in different locations of the department.
Can you describe what the plant looked like?
Well, I was so scared. I don't know what I... After I got to know it, you just had a little space there, what we were working on, big enough for us to move around, and room enough for other people to pass by us. And we had our own workbench. And I don't know, there was different people over here riveting on one, and over here on the other side riveting on another one. And... They were just people coming and going and working, too. And then we looked up and saw the big wing line on the track. And it was just people all over and parts all over. That's all I can remember to tell you.
What about the lighting?
The lighting was very good. Lighting was very, very good. We didn't have any strain on our eyes whatsoever. It was very good. The restrooms and the drinking water wasn't very far from us, and we had rest periods. I think they were about 10 minutes or 15, something like that. And then we had 30 minutes for lunch.
And those were all assigned times?
Yes. Yes, they were. They had a bell that always rang in the whole building for everybody to rest. I think it was 10 minutes. And then at lunchtime, when we had 30 minutes, the bell would ring for that. And then it'd ring for us to go back to work. And we could go to the restroom whenever we needed to go. But they said, stay on the job as long as you possibly can. And if you have to go, go. We didn't have to ask for permission.
When you went to the restroom... Were there, like, matrons in the...
Yes, yes, there was. There was a matron in there, and a lot of times we'd nick our finger, and they said, whatever we done, as long as the blood come, to go to the dispensary, and so that we wouldn't get it infected and get something on it, or whatever they did, you know. So we did. But in the restrooms, there was a matron, and they were always very clean.
The restrooms?
Yes. They were always very clean.
What was the matron's job there, really?
Well, she did the cleanup work and keep the paper towels and the tissues. And it was... clean enough, you know, for us to go in there, and if we wanted to, we could sit down for a second, if the booths were all full. But that was her job, I presume, because it was always clean.
Was there ever any problems with people spending too much time in the restrooms?
Yes, but never for us. I heard several complaints from the other people, maybe from the lead men or the lead women. At the time I went in, there weren't too many lead women. There were a lot of inspectors of women. But yes, they complained quite a bit to spend too much time. But we didn't. We abided by the rules because they had set us, you know, when we first came in, you got so much time to do this in, you got so much time to do that in, and you have to get it out, or else we send you to another job, or you'll have to go outside the gate. And but we never had a reprimand. They did give out reprimands when we were in there, but we never, I never had a reprimand, or my partner. And we got along with the people very, very well.
What, well, before we go to that, I ask you about the lighting. What about heat and heating in the plant, or was it too cold in the wintertime or too warm?
It was quite cold in the wintertime, yes, and especially when they opened the big doors to put out the plane. It was very cold. We had to wear little jackets or something. But if you kept busy, you wouldn't get so cold. And we tried to keep busy all the time as long as we had material to work on. And it was clean, always clean. The Durell and everything was always picked up along the floor, you know, so we wouldn't stumble over things, hurt ourselves, fall into a machine or something like that. And it was always clean. But it was cold, but not enough that we, not as much as I was used to back in Texas, in other words. But we did get cold. And we were allowed to wear a certain kind of gloves. But we had to have just a certain kind to do our work with.
That first day when you went in, what was the reaction of the men?
Well, they just come up and introduce themselves, you know, and you mean the lead people or the department employees?
Both.
Well, everybody was friendly, but of course, you know, they couldn't stop their work just because we were new, came in, you know, to introduce themselves. But at rest periods, while we would talk, and they would introduce themselves, and they were all friendly, as far as I was concerned. And the lead men, they were always friendly, and they were always willing to help us if we didn't know what to do or how to do it. And they always came around and told us how to do it. Or they might have shown us several times. And then we went from there.
That's good. So you didn't feel any kind of resentment?
No resentment whatsoever.
How did you feel about beginning that job?
Well,
being around all those new people.
It didn't bother me because